Welcome to Insight on Business, the news hour for Friday, September 27. My name is Michael Libby, and we're glad you're here with us. Today, along with the business news of the Des Moines Metro, the Wall Street Journal report, stocks of local interest, and the agricultural report, we'll be visiting with several guests. First up will be the voice of the Dowling Catholic football team, our friend Paul Yeager. Paul, who you might know from Iowa Public Television, also spent some time behind the microphone doing the Dowling games on a webcast. Then we're going to switch gears and visit with the new superintendent of the Des Moines Public Schools. We'll talk about the recent news regarding graduation rates, No Child Left Behind, and the importance of a world-class education when we're talking economic development. Tim Ahart, yet this half hour. Then next half hour, we welcome Carl Voss and Tim Lane from the Bike Collective. This weekend, something that has never been done in Des Moines before happens, and we can't wait to tell you about it. We'll get started with the top news stories of the day, right after weather and traffic. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour.
Support for Insight on Business, the News Hour, comes from Rick Davis Mortgage Loans of West Des Moines, Bob Oliver Heating and Cooling of Des Moines, and Westside Auto Pros of Des Moines.
18 minutes now past the hour of 5 o'clock. We had some miscommunication, apparently, and we weren't able to connect with Paul Yeager. He's over at the Valley School Auditorium, or the Valley School Field for the game tonight. And so, wrong numbers. And sometimes those kinds of things happen. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour. Should you have comments or questions for us or for our guests, you can jump onto Twitter. We monitor IOB_NewsHour before, during, and after the broadcast. We make welcome to the News Hour Tom Ahart, the superintendent of the Des Moines Public Schools. Tom became superintendent of Des Moines Public Schools on March 12th of this year. He was appointed interim superintendent on May 15th of last year and associate superintendent of the school district July 1 of 2011. Prior to that, he served as principal of Harding Middle School for 3 years. Welcome to the News Hour, Mr. Ahart.
Great to be here, Michael.
Nice to have you here. You know, it's always one of those things when people of great importance that have great jobs and great mission, and when they're younger than I am, I always go, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, big news from a couple of days ago, sir, was the increased scores for math and reading, and it seemed the increase was at all levels, elementary, middle, and the high school. What's up? What happened?
Well, a couple of things. We've been, over the last 3 years, we've really been working on some new structures in the district to better support all of our buildings, and within the buildings, putting in some structures that will allow our teachers to be more collaborative and to provide them some time to collaborate with one another and really take a serious look at student data and give them the opportunity to be more responsive to it. So as we've worked with implementing the new core curriculum and getting some better systems in place, that's really been paying off across the board.
And this doesn't happen overnight. This is a process, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We feel like we still have a long way to go, but we feel like the plans that we started putting into place about 3 years ago are really starting to pay off.
Well, and it needed to be that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it needed to be that way. The Des Moines Public Schools received some criticism in recent years, Tom, with regard to graduation rates. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of been an ongoing thing. What steps do you hope to put into place to reverse that trend and make that come out better?
Well, you know, we do have a three-year upward trend in graduation rate, and as you said, we still have a long way to go. We're shy of 80% right now. One thing that I do like to share with folks, Des Moines Public Schools is twice as large, a little more than twice as large as the next biggest district in the state, and our demographics certainly are more diverse than any district in the state. So if you take Des Moines Public Schools and compare it to a more meaningful comparison group around the country, such as Minneapolis or Indianapolis, Little Rock, Portland, we have a set of schools that we benchmark ourselves against that sometimes provide a little more meaningful context. You'll see that 79% is extremely high. Certainly, we're not satisfied with that. We have many things in place. We've added a couple of steps the past 2 years. We've added some attendance officers at our secondary level, so we're actively finding students on the same day, if we're not sure where they are and they're not at school, we're seeking them out and ensuring that they're at school if at all possible. Our graduation walk, which we just conducted our fifth annual this past Saturday, we actually had been calling that a reach out to dropouts. We changed that to the graduation walk because not only are we tapping students who we know are disengaged, but students who are demonstrating some signs as a junior or senior that they may not make it on time.
Well, I think that's also, and, you know, just to butt in there for just a moment, it's much more positive.
Absolutely.
The title is, you know, from a marketing guy, I would much rather.
Absolutely.
Graduation walk, I think, is better than dropouts.
It does. Yeah, it does send a much more positive message. And all the feedback that we've gotten from our over 200 volunteers from that day is that they said the most meaningful conversations they had with families were with those undercredited kids who may need a little more encouragement, or who we may need to take a closer look at finding ways around the barriers that have gotten in their way of making adequate progress.
Tom Ahart, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest in the News Hour right now. He's the superintendent of public schools here in the Des Moines Public School District. Let's talk about No Child Left Behind for just a minute. I think this is a favorite whipping post for most educators out there. Mm-hmm. Two metro communities met the requirements. Des Moines Public Schools didn't. Mm-hmm. Why do most educators dislike this program?
Well, I'm first going to say that No Child Left Behind has done a lot of good. There were populations of students around the country and within Iowa who were not given adequate attention and not enough emphasis on their success was brought to the table. So it has helped us take a look at every single subgroup and ensure that we're not ignoring any group, that everybody's reserving equity of service equity in progress. However, there are two things I'd like to point out, and one is unique to Iowa. One is, and this is universally true, English language learners. We have in Des Moines, we have nearly 6,000 students who come to us not speaking English, and often those students are illiterate in their home language. Now, if you are an English language learner, that means that you are not literate in English, either as a speaker, a listener, a reader, or a writer.
Right.
So you have that label. So if you have that label, you cannot be proficient. So we can demonstrate that we've grown our ELL students very well, but once they've reached proficient, they're no longer ELL. So English language learners will never meet adequate yearly progress, according to No Child Left Behind,
because once
they're proficient, they're no longer ELL.
Right.
It doesn't mean that we're not growing them. So there are a few things like that are just catch-22s, classic catch-22s. In Iowa, one of the challenges that we have is that when No Child Left Behind came into place, Iowa was one of the few states that did not have state standards. Every district had its own standards. Since every district had its own standards, there was not one state test that was aligned to those standards. So we defaulted to the Iowa Test of Basic Skills, which is a test that does not measure student growth and that is not criterion reference. It's norm reference. So all the kids are supposed to fall on a standard bell curve, and that's the way the test is designed. So how do you tell at what point are you proficient? So when you're measuring kids with a tool that's designed to spread them evenly over a bell curve, we're really working against ourselves. So if we did have a new assessment, and I think Director Bach has spoken to
correct.
This need, and I've been trying to sing this song for a few years now, if we had a test that was aligned with our curriculum and that was designed to measure student growth, we would all fare much, much better.
Tom Ahart, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest in studio. We're talking about education, the Des Moines public school system. You know, several years ago, one of my best friends was superintendent of schools in a community of roughly about 27,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that always confused me a bit, and this is no deference to the fine people that run for school board and that are on school boards and that take their job very seriously, but it seems as though in public education, we hire very talented leaders to do things, but yet the governance is transferred to actually volunteer members of a school board mm-hmm. who may or may not have the tools that it takes to run a huge operation like this. So it's always been confusing to me why...
You're trying to get me into some hot
water. No, I'm not at all. It's always been confusing to me, and I understand the local control. I understand all those things, but maybe is it more of an advisory thing? Let the leader go ahead and lead and do the things, and then review the outcomes like any other Fortune 500 company or anything else that they, because it's so important. So it's just, I don't want you to comment on that. It's just a personal thing with me. I've never understood it. I understand the need to have people involved in the educational process to mm-hmm. be able to review those kinds of things, but to actually run the place when you've got talented people that you hire. I always ask Dave, why is that? He said, I don't know. Well, I am not reducing the importance of public input, but that's just a thing with me. I come from a family with several teachers, and I admire the work that teachers do, and I get it. But it's not an easy task to teach kids who are with you only for a couple of hours a day and then leave school and then go back to a what could be a sketchy family life with no control. Yet teachers are expected to somehow teach beyond that. Mm-hmm. That's a tough job.
It's a wicked tough job.
Yeah, because you're being held accountable for things that you really can't be accountable for.
Well, and there does seem to be a tension in political tension in the community, depending on where you lean, that we do feel accountable for the academic success of our kids and beyond the academic success. And if we ignore some of those factors that you just referenced that have tremendous influence on how well those students are able to perform academically, then we can't make progress with those students. On the other hand, some people say we overreach and we're taking on, we're not the students' parents. We absolutely agree. But with the circumstances that some of our students come from, if we ignore those factors, we don't stand any reasonable chance of making academic progress with them. Well, it is a conundrum.
It is. And not only that, but you're also mandated to be able to look out for those types of things that because, child needs assistance, whatever those, you're a legislated reporter of those types of things.
That's right.
So that does enter into the mix.
It sure does.
We're going to try to make a link here between a well-educated workforce and business. Iowa's often been held up as a model of education. Mm-hmm. There's even a test named after us.
Yes, there is.
Imagine that. But in recent years, that distinction's run into some problems. What does Iowa need to do to create an environment of excellence in education?
Well, there was a debate in the legislature this past spring with the education reform, most of which I think is very well intended and most of which I think will help us move forward. One thing that we seem to have lost track of a bit, and it doesn't always come down to money, but we had 2% allowable growth with mm-hmm. another 2% added on top, not in the formula, and then next year there will be 4% allowable growth. If we had 22% allowable growth next year, that would take Iowa to middle of the pack in the country as far as per student spending. So when you talk about some of the challenges that we're facing, we're offering mental health services in our schools, social services. We have people would be amazed at how many social workers and psychotherapists we have working in our schools. And if we did not have them, we would not be having some of the success that we're having because we need to have the students in school. We don't have a long enough year as it is, I would argue. And so we need those students there every single minute that we can, and we need them healthy, both mentally, psychologically and physically, so that they're ready to learn. You're going to talk with some gentlemen, I think, later on about the importance of living a healthy lifestyle physically, and that's another challenge we have. Childhood obesity and the living conditions that many of our students have, not enough access to adequate exercise when they're not at school, all sorts of things that are impacting what you and I probably took for granted when we were in school.
Absolutely, and they were things that we took for granted when we were in school. It's really frustrating for me, and I don't do politics on this show, but it's really frustrating for me when politicians continue to talk about two groups of people that they hold up to be very near and dear to us, our children, and so they talk about our children and education, and that needs to be important, and then the elderly, our greatest treasure. But on both issues here in the state of Iowa, we fall woefully short in adequately funding the mechanism to care for those people,
right,
on both sides.
Yeah. Well,
in my opinion,
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. One thing I will tell you: what do we need to do to catch up? We need to be making more than typical progress. And I am proud to say I'm proud of the improvement we've made in terms of the percent of students proficient. But what I'm more proud of is that at at most grade levels in both reading and math, our students exceeded a typical year's growth. So not only was there an improvement in the percentage of kids who were labeled proficient, but as a whole, we're growing our kids faster than you would expect in a typical year. And if we can maintain that, then we do stand a chance to catch up.
It was very interesting, Tom. 11th grade was a grade level that shined above all others. Mm-hmm. It was interesting, you know.
Well, you know, some of our high schools did some creative things with their schedules, and teachers really took seriously their responsibility to not give up on a student just because they weren't where we thought they should be by their sophomore or junior year, and provided them the appropriate supports, and the students responded really well to some of those creative solutions, and it works.
Excellent. Tom, thank you so very much for taking time out of your day on a Friday afternoon to come down here to the station and talk with us. Phil was able to set this up, and I really appreciate it.
Anytime. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks,
you.
Michael.
Tom Ahart, ladies and gentlemen, Superintendent of Schools for the Des Moines Public School System. We're going to take a look at the Wall Street Journal, come back with stocks of local interest and the report from agriculture. This is Insight on Business, the NewsHour. Once again, the Dow Jones Industrial Average for the day down by over 70 points at 15,258. This is the News Hour. Say, the Des Moines Area Regional Transit Agency, that would be DART, anticipates what they call significant disruptions to bus service on Sunday, September 29, due to a pair of events on that day. The Capital Pursuits race through downtown Des Moines will cause delays on all routes from 7:45 to 10:30 in the morning on Sunday. Connections between routes, according to DART, cannot be guaranteed during that time. And then the Des Moines Open Streets event will cause routes 3 and 60 to be on detour from approximately 11:30 in the morning until 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon due to the closure of University Avenue from 23rd Street to 41st Street. Buses are going to be detoured on Cottage Grove Avenue and Kingman Boulevard. That story leads us into a discussion of the Des Moines Open Streets event, and with us to talk about that is Carl Voss and Tim Lane, both from the Des Moines Bike Collective. Welcome to the News Hour, gentlemen.
Well, great to be here this afternoon.
Always good to see you. You are Mr. Bicycle here in the city of Des Moines. People know you and have seen you all over the place, and this is all about health and fitness. But let's get right into this Open Streets thing. This is an event that's happened in other cities in the United States. It seems to be very popular. Tell us, what is it?
Well, for a portion of Sunday, University Avenue is going to be car-free from 23rd to 41st Street.
And that's hard for lots of people to imagine, a busy street like that, that many blocks, 19 blocks, to be closed off free of traffic for that long. That's odd, isn't it?
Odd for Des Moines, not for the rest of the country. So it took a little bit of persuasion to get this done. But so the idea that streets are our largest public space in any community, and how often people fly down the street and really don't have a chance to see what is out on the street. They've driven by restaurants and retail shops and interesting houses, and for this brief time, one day, a portion of a day, they're going to be able to skateboard, inline skate, bike ride, walk, bring
chalk.
Chalk
on the street.
Yeah. So there are plenty of activities that are coming forward to participate in this event. There are churches that are going to be involved, and so
sounds like a great time. Tim Lane is also with us, ladies and gentlemen. He's one of the organizers of this event. So you worked with the Des Moines Parks and Recreation Group, and it's also Unity Point is also helping to sponsor this whole thing. What is it? What I like about this is what it isn't. It's not a trade show. There's not booths set up. There's not all of that stuff. It's just getting out and enjoying yourself. Is that right, Tim?
Hopefully. That's our goal, is that there's going to be a great deal of enjoyment. There is going to be a great deal of enjoyment all along the route. There is going to be some boost with some information. But also, it isn't just about health. It's about sustainability, and it is about those local businesses. We want Mars Cafe to have a banner day and people to sit at their tables out in front there, enjoy their coffee, and folks to walk next door and discover that there is a new place called Fernando's, and that maybe sample the free yoga at Harmony Yoga down there at the end. And then maybe decide, gosh, this yoga is kind of
kind of cool. Yeah, I can maybe do this.
So we're going to have yoga in the street. We're going to have granny basketball in the street. We're going to have BMX bicycles that folks can test ride, tricycle recumbents that folks can try out. We even have a 21-passenger bicycle. If you happen to belong to a club with 20 other individuals, you can come down and bike together that day.
All of you.
Yes.
All of you. Tim Lane, ladies and gentlemen, also with Carl Voss. They are the Bike Collective. Before we get too far down the road, Carl, tell us, what is the Bike Collective? What's its mission? And what are you doing here in Des Moines?
We are, we've been organized for 6 years now. We're a nonprofit. Our goal is to get more people on bikes. So we support active transportation, recreation, and wellness on bicycles.
You know, we just had a story this week, I think it was, Carl, that indicated that August was the best month ever for DART, the bus system, and the bike carries. There were almost 8,000 carries of bicycles, and the next highest one, I think, was 5,500 some time ago. So people
really big numbers.
Yeah, those are big numbers for a system of transportation that was causing a lot of consternation among some people not too very long ago. I mean, we remember the flap on Ingersoll with the bike lane, you know, and now bike lanes are going all over the place. And
right.
I think people are starting to catch on to the fact that, okay, bicycles are also vehicles and they should be accorded some of the same.
They're vehicles same and they rights. Have rights to be on the street. So,
with the Bike Collective, though, let's come back to the
sure.
Bike Collective. So, how do you do that? How do you get more people out on bikes? How do you get people involved in bicycling? How are you doing that?
Well, we sponsor Bike Month every year. We also publish all the trail maps in the Des Moines area. We sponsor bike maintenance classes. We do bike education and bike advocacy. We accept donated bikes, which our volunteers refurbish, and that allows people that can't afford a new bike to come in and buy a bike for affordable rates. And then other people can actually, because we sell a few bikes, we can give away bikes.
Yeah, it really is. And not only that, but you also are helpful in many other things. I know at the downtown farmers market, for example, we ride our bikes down there with regularity. And there's a valet service
yep.
that you provide. And it's free. You don't have to pay for anything, but it's nice if you give a little donation. So there's all kinds of things that you've been able to intertwine in staged events, things that are already going on, and then you put a bicycle
right.
Point to it.
Yes. And we also organize and operate the Des Moines B-Cycle program, which is a bike sharing program.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Is that the gray bicycles that are
it
all
is.
Over the place?
Program.
I made fun of those not too very long ago. Come on. I was just kidding. You look at those, and they look like they came from Soviet Union. You know, they're all gray, and they look like they're heavy duty. But, of course, they've got to be that way, because who in the world knows who's going to be riding those things, right?
Well, we'll come on another time and talk about this. Tim and I were the main instigators of this program. So
yeah, Nyet. Yeah. We'll do that. We'll do that. How does the street closing, Tim, how does this help build community? I have a suspicion that when we're doing 35 or 40 miles an hour down a road, we don't really see what's out there. Is the hope, Tim, that you're going to be able to build community by actually having people see what's going on along that stretch of university?
We're trying to do several different things,
yeah.
Physical activity, build community, and also foster business. But yes, encouraging folks to come out of their cubicle, walk down a couple more cubicles, and as they walk past some folks that they might see speeding by in a car on one day, stop, chat,
yeah,
catch up if they know them, and if they don't know them, start the process. This is a... Carl and I had an opportunity to get up to Minneapolis several weeks ago, took in a stretch about the same length on Minnehaha Avenue. And this is kind of like traveling back in time.
It is.
Back to those days when folks would ride streetcars or have to walk to work or didn't have as many vehicles as we have now. I love my car. It is a great solution for long trips. But, you know, trips of a block, 2 blocks, under 2 miles,
seriously?
The bike is a great vehicle.
It is a great vehicle.
And walking is a great choice. And this is kind of a way to remind folks, let's get out and kind of hit the pavement from time to time. And there's a lot to be celebrated there. And it's a great opportunity to teach your child to bike that day.
Yeah,
or not, even let them trike down University Avenue.
Sure. Get on the and take photographs and show great Aunt Hattie that you were actually tricycling down University Avenue. This is a story that goes back several years. I have a good friend of mine who used to come to Iowa from time to time. His name is Rabbi David Pasig. And Rabbi Pasig commented to me one time. He says, you know, I don't quite understand. And he lives in Israel. That's where he's raised. And he comes here, and we were walking from our house down to the synagogue one Saturday. And he said to me, he goes, I don't understand it. He says, how come nobody in the United States gets out of their house and just walks and hangs out with people? And that is a cultural thing in Israel because, as you know, there are no buses. There are no taxi cabs other than Arab-driven taxi cabs on the Sabbath. From Friday night at sundown till Saturday night at sundown, people walk. They don't drive. And he thought that was absolutely stunning when he was here one of the first times, that people don't take advantage of getting out in the neighborhood and talking to people and walking around. And so this is reminiscent for me of what it's like in Eretz Israel, where people actually spend a day, you know, they walk and they hang out with people.
Well, we have a very car-centric society. And so this is just a brief break from that.
A reminder. And
so, yeah. So we hope that so that people will see this and say, gosh, you know, this would be great to have in our neighborhood. So maybe Highland Park and Oak Park are great neighborhoods.
Sure.
Or maybe this would work in Urbandale also. You know, actually, if you go into small town Iowa, if people walk in a small town like Atlantic, where I was grew up, people say, is there something wrong?
Yeah, what's going on?
Is your car broken down? You know, why are you walking? So
yeah,
so
exactly.
Maybe we can capture part of that and go back to a time when it's okay to walk. So
The event is taking place on Sunday. It's University Avenue from, what is it? Say again, from those blocks?
From 23rd to
41st.
There is parking on side streets and some of the adjacent parking lots, but we'd encourage everybody to also consider riding DART to that route just two blocks to the south, and pump those DART numbers up that day. We're going to have, by the way, pedicabs for those individuals that might have missed the message that DART isn't running on University that day, and they're going to transport them to the spot where they can get on that DART route.
That's a cool idea.
Yeah, and, of course, it's free.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
All of this is free, and it's been done in other cities. Carl was kind enough to send me some video from Chicago and Minneapolis and several other cities around the country where this has happened. And it's gotten great reviews. So I suspect if this is successful, Carl, will you do it again?
We hope so. We hope we'll do it on this street and other streets in the Des Moines area. And we've invited neighborhood leaders from around Des Moines and the metro area to come and check this out and see if this could fit in their community also.
What a nice idea. Ladies and gentlemen, it's called the Open Street, and it does happen on Sunday. And it's on University Avenue, and Carl Voss and Tim Lane in to talk about that a little bit. It takes a lot of work and a lot of preparation, a lot of effort that goes into something like
it's
that.
It's worth it.
Yeah, I think it is, too, and I think it should be great fun. And we'll be looking forward to seeing you guys on Sunday. This is Insight on Business, the News Hour. We'll be back with more right after this.
Support for Inside on Business, the News Hour, comes from Rick Davis Mortgage Loans of West Des Moines, Bob Oliver Heating and Cooling of Des Moines, and Westside Auto Pros of Des Moines.
It is a fabulous Friday. We've got 6 minutes now before the top of the hour. Top of the hour, CBS Evening News. You want to contact us? It's pretty doggone easy. You can get on Twitter. It's IOB underscore News Hour. That's IOB underscore News Hour. If you got a news story for us, send it via email. It's IOBNewsroom@gmail.com. That's IOBNewsroom@gmail.com. The host of Market to Market, Iowa Public Television, Paul Yeager, is finally on the phone with us. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Oh, man, I'll take that upgrade, Michael. Gosh, I love that. I'm the lowly producer keeping the show in order.
Well, that's
Mike Pearson, you know, is our host, and he flew in. He basically comes in and joins us. You know, just taking the role that his dad had with us there at IPG.
How fondly we remember his father.
You know, Mark was quite a guy.
What a guy, and what a tragic loss to all of us in the broadcasting industry. Paul Yeager, ladies and gentlemen, you probably know him from Iowa Public Television, but on the weekends, especially on Fridays, he's got another role that he fills. You're the voice of the Dowling football team, and also what, Valley?
Oh yeah, we do home games for Valley and Dowling here at Valley Stadium, part of DMWebcasting.com. It's
right.
A service we're in the third year doing Dowling, second year of Valley, and so basically I just hang out at Valley Stadium on Friday nights.
So, just something extra in your life. Oh, by the way, happy fourth birthday to your son, by the way.
Thank you very much. You know, that's the important part.
Exactly. Where would we be without Facebook, Paul?
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
That's how we keep up with everything. So tell us about this webcasting thing that you're doing. I think this is very cool. And Peter Tarpe and I, he's the producer of this particular show as well. And we've been talking about doing webcasts and TV casts for a long, long, long time before I think other people were talking about it. And he finally take it to reality. So tell us the inner workings of all this. You've got cameras and you're doing the play-by-play and folks can catch it where?
You can catch us any night on Fridays, dmwebcasting.com. And you can also find us at either Valley Webcasting or dowlingwebcasting.com. And so tonight we'll go live at 7 o'clock. On the World Wide Web, we have a camera crew here, and I have an analyst, and sideline reporter, and stats, and director, camera operator, and we give you the game. You get to see the game from a couple of different angles. We got a talented crew that makes this happen production-wise, and I just do my best not to fumble us through the rest of the night and give you the play-by-play.
Sure, and tonight, this is a pretty major game, isn't it?
It is. It's always good. You know, every time Dowling takes the field or Valley takes the field, it's an event on the west side,
and
especially here in West Des Moines.
Yeah, especially in West Des Moines. And I know when we talk about Valley High School's stadium, I mean, there are colleges that would die to have that kind of a stadium.
Exactly. My alma mater, Wartburg College, is one of them.
Yeah, exactly.
This is Texas high school football almost. And
it really
Valley
is.
Valley does a good job of filling it, and so does Dowling. It's homecoming tonight for the Maroons, so there's a large tailgate. And there was only maybe 30 people there about 20 minutes ago, and I blinked and now looked up, Michael, and it is just packed with Maroon fans, and they come out, they support their team well, and they support us on the web. We have people from every state in the union that watch us at any given time, and after tonight, it'll be archived, and you can watch it whenever you like.
Sure.
And break it down.
And, you know, that's also very interesting. Peter and I were talking about those numbers. There are significant numbers of people all over the United States and other countries that tune in. And I think that's what's kind of cool about this is that both Valley and Dowling have such a rabid fan base. And so no matter where they go in the United States, they can go ahead and see their alma mater play. I think that's really cool.
And we do a lot of interacting with them during the game through our Twitter handle, at Valley Webcast or at Valley Webcast, last in our Facebook pages. And I'll try to, in amongst plays, while the analyst is talking, and talk back to some of the people that are watching. We have a Valley fan that's in the Army now. He's in South Korea, and he watches. And we kind of talk back during the game and also have a good conversation with a lot of the Dowling fans. This is our second Dowling game this year. We had the Valley Dowling game. We had a lot of fans. A lot of former players. I was like, hey, he played quarterback. He played wide receiver. And they're there with their college teams. They couldn't be at the game, but they wanted to watch that Valley Dowling game, and then we're able to kind of give them that second level of interaction online.
Excellent. Well, Paul Yeager, ladies and gentlemen, how nice to hear from you. I hope you have a great game. I'm sorry for the mix-up. We had a little transposed number issue on this
end. Tune us in at 7 o'clock on the web, that's all.
There you go. Paul Yeager, ladies and gentlemen, going to be calling the play-by-play this evening, and you can catch him on the web. Paul Yeager, thanks so very much for spending some time, and go blow out a birthday candle with your son.
Will do. Thank you, Michael.
All right, my friend. You take care. Thanks so very much for joining us. This has been Insight on Business, the News Hour. We're here Monday through Friday from 5 until 6 p.m. with the news and information about Iowa businesses, what's going on in the metro, and you can be part of that as well. All you have to do is go ahead and contact us through Twitter. It's at IOB underscore NewsHour. That's at IOB underscore NewsHour. And you can send us stuff by email, and that's iobnewsroom@gmail.com. For all of the folks that are associated with Insight on Business, the NewsHour, thanks so very much for being with us. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.